Hello, iGaming Intelligentsia. Before we start today's podcast, here is a message from our sponsors. The iGaming Next podcast is made possible with the support from our sponsors at Pragmatic Solutions, leaders in intelligent platform technology. I've been working with Ashley, Lewis, and the guys over at Pragmatic Solutions over the last year. And as the early supporter of this podcast, I cannot recommend them enough. The Pragmatic Solutions Player Account Management Platform is an incredibly powerful technology stack for today's gaming business. Their modern modular platform provides all the core services to power your business, and their SaaS licensing model allows you to reduce cost and accelerate your strategic goals. Enterprise technology with decades of operational know-how at scale built in. Upgrade your business to the Pragmatic Solutions PAM platform. Visit www.pragmatic.solutions to arrange a platform demo.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this second edition of podcast with myself, Rory Credland. I'm the head of Insider Intelligence at iGaming Next. Delighted to have everyone here. I'm delighted to be joined by Nick Solsky, I'm Chief Commercial Officer from PointsBet Canada. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how are you, Roy? Great to see you,
good
man.
Good, thanks. And also Alan Petrelli, VP of Sales Growth from Intellix. Hi, Alan.
Hey, Roy. Hey, Nick. How you guys doing? Happy to be here.
Great. So listen, today we're just going to sort of follow on from our power hour that we had last week, just looking at the open market in Canada. You know, Canada's opened up with single wagering. Let's go into a bit of detail about that a little bit more. You know, with this regulation panning out, how do you sort of see it rolling out overall? You know, with Ontario going into, are they going to start allowing operators who traditionally like operate in non-regulated markets? How what's your state of thought, I suppose, in terms of Canadian market opening up?
Yeah, I mean, I guess from an operator, Alan, I'll kick us off. How about that? So, yeah, Roy, I mean, Bill C-218 formally passed Parliament and was signed into law about 2.5-3 weeks ago now. What that means is federally, single event sports betting has now been decriminalized, but ultimately it's going to be the provinces who are going to have the authority to regulate and license single event sports betting operators to take single event wagers in Canada, similar to the US that rolled out state by state. Ontario is going to be first. I mean, that's pretty much a certainty now. It looks like December of this year, optimistically, is going to be that launch point. And to your point, it sounds like the AGCO, which is the Alcohol and Gaming Commission of Ontario, who has oversight over gaming within the province, is going to kind of open it up to be a multiplayer market and have licensing available to anyone who applies. It doesn't sound like there's going to be any prohibition to any gray market operators who have been operating in Canada without the regulation. And then it seems like, Alberta is kind of the next most aggressive province looking at opening up. And it feels like they're going to emulate to a certain degree what Ontario does. A number of other provinces, especially BC, are thinking about creating a monopoly around the BCLC, which is their lottery corporation, and effectively gating out other operators from a regulated perspective to operate within the province. And a number of other, a couple other provinces are kind of sliding in between the two. But that's kind of the state of play right now. It looks like Ontario first by the end of this year, Alberta at some point Q1, Q2 next year, and then we'll see about Quebec, Manitoba, BC, Manitoba, and then the great province of Quebec, where Alan's at. You see how I tangent you, Alan? How about that?
I was going to say, if we're hoping on Quebec doing anything soon, I think we're going to be holding our breath for a little bit. I think what interests me about this market, and I think it differentiates it a little bit from what's happened in the U.S., is number one, what are each province going to do for gray market brands who choose not to regulate and choose not to get licensed? Are they going to allow them to operate? Or are they not? You know, we saw a couple of years ago Quebec try to block IPs of gambling brands in Quebec, and that was shot down by the Superior Court. So, will that happen again? And then, you know, obviously putting my marketing hat on, you know, our tier one ad platforms like Facebook and Google are going to start allowing people to operate you know, via white hat techniques on their platforms for operators that are actually licensed. So I think there's a lot to figure out. I think it's an interesting legalized market. But I'm of the view of, you know, I think brands got to get it right. I think we spoke about this in the prep a little bit, you know, points by getting out in front of it and making sure that people know what they're up to is really cool. But I think there's still a lot to be kind of determined on what's going to happen in Canada. And I'm anxiously awaiting to see what the provinces are going to come up with.
Yeah.
From an affiliate licensing standpoint.
I was going to say, it seems there's more challenges still to come. There are the opportunities, but we've got a long way still to go before we actually get that, you know, blossom season, if you like.
Totally. And I just wanted to ask Alan to comment a little bit on one thing that he was talking about as far as how some of the marketing platforms are going to view regulation and operators who either regulate or don't regulate and operate in gray markets. I think from a marketing perspective, what I'm also very interested in is how are the media companies, the teams, the leagues, and the associations going to handle whether operators are regulated in Ontario and operating outside of Ontario in the gray, whether they're going to continue to operate unlicensed and take the .net advertising approach. I wonder, Alan, like, what's your, from a marketer's perspective, you know, where do you see that kind of falling down?
I mean, I guess the short answer is I don't know. I think what's been interesting is in the lead up to regulation, you've seen pretty much every sports organization, media company take gray market brands and allow them to market their .net products or even some without their .net, just their brand name. And I think it's been interesting that they've allowed kind of this inflow of marketing dollars ahead of regulation, not knowing if any of these brands are actually going to go ahead and regulate. And I think we know money talks, and I think a lot of these sports organizations, these leagues, you know, these venues have started making quite a lot of money off betting brands in Canada, in the gray market. And, you know, I think unless they're told that they cannot take this money, I just wonder when they're going to make a decision to separate themselves, from regulated brands to unregulated brands. I also think, and we spoke about this a little bit in our previous conversation, you know, casinos not regulated in Canada. What does that mean for brands who have both a casino and a sports product? I think there's a lot still up in the air. I mean, obviously being based in Canada and doing a lot of marketing here, I love what the country has from an opportunity standpoint. I just think there's still a lot to be determined. And at the end of the day, if you're going to try to take away money from leagues that have been taking it for, you know, 3, 4, 5 years from unregulated brands, I think there needs to be a clear-cut regulation that allows it or doesn't. So I'm interested to see what happens. I don't know, Nick, if you have a opinion on what brands are going to do. I think if we're going to seriously go to regulation, then within each province, you need to stop the ability for gray or black market brands to actually market publicly, or else it's going to be, in my opinion, at least a free-for-all.
Not only that, but I would argue that I think that provinces should keep a pretty keen eye on the operators that they do license within a specific province and how those operators are gonna work outside of the unregulated provinces or the provinces that are slow to regulate. And Alan, to your point, and for the sake of the audience, I mean, Bill C-218 passed a few weeks ago, but it's been about a decade, right? People, this is like the third kick at the can, I believe, in getting single event sports betting past Parliament. So the reality is I don't really blame, or it's not blame's the wrong word, but you know, it's not a surprise a lot of the leagues, teams, media companies, and associations have been taking money from the gray market operators because there was no level of confidence that C-218 was going to pass. But now that it did, the question is, what are they going to do now? Right? Like there are a lot of there's a couple leagues. We won't get into the specifics, but they've created these, you know, multi-year deals with some of these gray market operators without realizing or without knowing that sports betting was going to be, or single event sports betting was going to be decriminalized. So the question is, can these leagues, teams, media companies, and associations get out of these multi-year deals? Do they want to? Are they going to focus only on the regulated operators? Down point, like, we don't know what's going to happen, but if you're going to build a healthy, regulated ecosystem that's focused on protecting the consumer, driving innovation, being responsible when it comes to gaming. I mean, you can't just close your eyes and pretend nothing else is going on outside of where you're operating, right?
I mean,
interesting.
I also wonder, you know, start of NHL and NBA season, which operators decide to pull out of some of those deals ahead of them getting licensed and say, we don't want to be promoted until we go through the process, and which venues and sports teams and leagues continue to allow at the start of the upcoming season, knowing regulations coming down kind of end of the year, hopefully, what happens. I think it might be a little bit indicative, but I think, like, at the end of the day, people are just going to, we've seen it in every other geo that's regulated. People continue to do what they do until they're told not to, right? And I think until the provinces come out with a clear-cut kind of roadmap on what you can and cannot do, both from an operator perspective and from an affiliate perspective, because I know they're talking about having affiliate licensing within Canada, which is a whole other issue in my mind. Until they have, you know, clear-cut plan, I think it's going to be interesting. You know, for affiliates, and we're always going to compare Canada to what happened in the U.S., but for affiliates in New Jersey, you know, New Jersey kicked out every unregulated brand and said, you want to work within the state, you need to work with regulated brands. We're not clear that's happening in Canada. So from an affiliate perspective, what are they going to do? Are they going to continue to take the revenue they're getting from gray market brands, or are they going to take that regulation seriously? And I think the biggest problem is going to be is if all these provinces kind of sit in the middle and they don't make a decision on what they want to do. I think it's going to be important for someone to kind of come out and put their foot in the sand and say, this is what we're going to be doing in our province. Here's how we're going to be taking this seriously. Because if they don't, I think it's, for at least for the beginning, it's going to continue to be a free-for-all.
No, I agree. I totally agree with that sentiment. And what the AGCO ends up deciding to do, it's going to be really interesting. And you know, the AGCO has launched a new iGaming division focused on sports betting. So they're taking a proactive approach. I think that in Ontario, the writing might already be on the wall where they're going to just open up everybody, and there's not going to be, you know, they're going to take a, you know, they're going to take a see no evil, hear no evil approach outside of the province. The question is, what will the other provinces do? Because it is an iterative process, right? It's not like what Ontario does and the AGCO does isn't necessarily exactly what Alberta is going to do or what the other provinces are going to do. So the question is, what are we going to learn in here? You know, good and bad about how the regulation is going to shift over time and evolve.
I hope that these lotteries don't close their eyes and think they have all the expertise in house to make decisions. I hope they go and they speak to people like you and, you know, other people who plan on regulating within Canada to get their opinion, their expertise on doing this in other geos. I think it's, you know, not that this has been fully done in a million other places, but regulation has happened, countries and states have gone through it. I think it's important to get an understanding of what's worked, what hasn't, and make sure that we do it properly and that it doesn't just become this, you know, we allow single game betting in Canada, but at the end of the day, we, you know, we have no real rules around it. I'm cool to pause. I don't know if
you guys. Great. I mean, just touching on brand a little bit, I suppose, from your point of view, Nick. I mean, look, congratulations on Drew Brees being your brand ambassador for Canada and so forth. A huge coup for you guys. Is that it? Is it all about brand, or is it more than that, do you think, in your opinion, in terms of getting that win, I suppose, in the Canadian market and North America in general? Well,
yeah, I mean, I think brand is going to be important. And Drew Brees, Drew Brees is the ambassador for PointsBet in the U.S. And obviously, because of our relationship within the company, we're going to have opportunities to leverage him in Canada as well. I think brand is going to be very important, especially over the first year or so, because there's going to be an extraordinary amount of competition. But ultimately, product is going to win out. I believe that the best product at the end of the day is going to succeed, because ultimately this market is also going to be, it's an adage that's been said many times. It's a marathon, not a sprint. I think that there's going to be a lot of competition in Ontario, being the first in Canada. There's going to be a lot of players. That's why brand in the early days is going to be extraordinarily important, because typically it takes product differentiation and product superiority a little bit more time to really take shape, because you got to get that product into people's hands at the end of the day. So I believe that in the early days in sports betting in Canada and in Ontario, how brands message themselves to the Canadian sports fan and the Canadian casual fan is going to be a key defining element. And as Alan can attest, Canada is not another state. You can't just treat Canada like another American jurisdiction. We are an extraordinarily unique country. We're a unique people. We watch sports differently. And we watch sports differently from Western Canada to Eastern Canada. And I believe that in the early days of, you know, how the market evolves, the operators that understand what it actually takes to communicate authentically with the Canadian audience is going to have a leg up and allow for survival as product then becomes the overwhelming deciding factor on who's going to be a market leader. That's how I'm kind of viewing things, being kind of generally vague, because obviously I don't want to get too deeply into what our strategy is going to be from a brand perspective. But I mean, Alan, from a marketing perspective, I'm curious to know if you agree. I mean, if you think that kind of evolution of how the market will develop, especially in Ontario, is realistic.
I do. And I mean, look, I think realistically, there are a lot of citizens in Canada who bet daily who don't know that it's not currently legal. I think there's one thing about Canada where it, opposite from the US, is a large part of the population currently bets. They don't know that it's technically not regulated. And I do think that product's probably going to win out quicker than it has in the US market, because even your casual bettors, a lot of them have accounts at gray market brands. We'll call them gray market. I don't really even like calling them that, because there's been no regulation here for so long. Technically, they're just operating freely, right? And I think that the population and the appetite for betting here is different. I think when you said Canadians bet differently than Americans, I think that is very true. You know, obviously NFL is the biggest bet on sport in North America, whether you're in the US, whether you're in Canada. But soccer is very popular in Canada. Hockey is very popular in Canada. A lot more international sports are popular here as opposed to in the US. And I think that brand is going to work quickly. But I also think that, you know, there's going to be a lot of, well, we won't name, there's going to be a lot of Canadian brands that launch sports books in Canada. If the product isn't good, they're going to fail. At the end of the day, their product's going to need to match what they're doing on the branding side of things. Because I think Canadians are savvy when it comes to the sports betting, and they're not going to put up with subpar products, because there's been good products that have operated here for the last 10 plus years, and they're used to having products that are strong. It's not a market that's coming in with eight operators who you know, only really knowledgeable bettors have used before. The population is knowledgeable. And I think it's going to be very important.
Yep. I completely agree with that. $14 billion was wagered illegally in Canada last year. It's a lot, right? That's a lot
and
of money.
Back to my point, how many people realize they were doing it illegally? You know what I mean? I think it's one of those things where it's going to take time to, and that's what goes back to our original point. If the lotteries don't do it properly, what distinguishes a regulated brand from an unregulated brand? And I think that's going to be very important for PointsBet, for anyone who's come into the country from a regulated perspective. How are you protected against brands who come in and people don't even know that they're not regulated?
Well, I think that you hit the nail on the head. I think that there's a subtlety to the communication that will probably start percolating through the market around where your money is going, right? Is your money being housed in Canadian banks or in offshore banks? Are the consumer protections and the responsible gaming modules within an operator's platform, are they actually conducive to creating a safe safe place to wager? I think that will resonate with the Canadians, but ultimately, I mean, that's why PointsBet Canada took the big step that we took, which is we're establishing a headquarters in Canada. We're hiring a ton of best-in-class Canadians to work on top of the, you know, I use the phrase a lot, the best-in-class tech stack. I mean, we have a great technology, a great product that we will be able to customize for the Canadian audience. And I think that the question is going to be, how do other operators that take a similar approach, because we're not going to be the only ones that do what we're doing, how do we get that message out there to combat, it's not even combat, but to, you know, to kind of circle around those gray market operators that have been servicing bets from Canadians, and they're comfortable with them already, right? I've been betting with operator X for 5 years. I like them. But so what is it that's going to get that Canadian better to try PointsBet Canada? Or what's it going to take for that Canadian sports fan that hasn't bet to try, right? I mean, obviously that's the big question. And that's what's going to be really interesting. It's going to be, I mean, people have also used this adage before. It's going to be a bloodbath in Ontario. Holy smokes. The competition is really fierce.
And you touched on this. And at the end of the day, like, I think, again, we keep saying what differentiates Canada from the US, but at the end of the day, most operators operating in Canada make it easy for Canadian citizens to deposit, to withdraw. I can use my Interac. I can use my credit card. It's not like in the US market when you go to an unregulated brand and I know I'm depositing via crypto or some sketchy third party, you know, banking application for me to be able to get money to the brand. You know, right now, every brand in Canada is accepting Interac credit card. It's very easy for me to give them their money. It's very easy for me to get my money out. Is that going to continue to happen once regulation occurs? Is gray market brands going to be able to, you know, process payments in the same way they are now? I think there's a lot of questions that are going to be super relevant for when you guys launch and for anyone who regulates on, you know, what differentiates you from any other brand in the market from an operational standpoint. And I'm totally really interested to see what they do. And I think the way that Canada is set up from a provincial standpoint, I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens in BC, Quebec. You know, if they continue to just operate the way that they do and let every operator operate there, you know, I'm as interested from a sportsbook technology standpoint, but also from a marketing standpoint. I'm very interested to see what affiliates, media buyers, what people are going to look at Canada like in terms of how they're going to market it, because it's going to be super fragmented.
Yeah, I mean, look, touching on that, I suppose we're talking about competition in that place, you know, the increased competition in that. Just, Alan, from your view, in terms of the with such competitions around, are we going to see a sort of exhaustion of that, the traditional partnership database, you know, old partnerships?
Look, we can go out and not name names. There's going to be a lot of Canadian brands who are going to launch sportsbooks off the back of their own databases, hoping that that's going to be enough for them to compete. And I think, you know, that's great. We've seen in the US market that brands have launched in partnerships with land-based groups, and they've used that database to be able to scale over their first year or two. But what we're starting to see in the US market, and I think this probably helps a brand like PointsBet, is at the end of the day, a lot of their competition in the US is starting to exhaust their user base, and they're needing to go to, you know, other channels to acquire users. And obviously, you know, putting on my Intellytics hat, that's why we're selling our platform in the US market. Mm-hmm. And obviously in Canada, is it allows people to buy media smarter and allows them to make sure that they have the tracking and reporting technology in place to be able to make sure they're running profitable campaigns. And I think you're seeing this in the US market. I think you're going to see it in the Canadian market. It's not going to be enough to just launch with a database and hope that they can convert players quickly. You know, we touch on this right in the first minute of this this podcast. You know, what are ad platforms going to allow brands to do in Canada? You know, if Facebook and Google open up and say, if you're regulated, we're going to allow you to buy White Hat on our platforms, I think right away that is a massive advantage for brands that are regulating, because it's giving you, I don't want to say unlimited access, but the most targeted, high quality access to traffic that your direct gray market competition won't have. They can find their ways to get on Facebook and Google. We're not all stupid here. We understand that. But for brands to be able to buy legitimately on these platforms, it's a massive advantage. So, you know, to me, I'm interested to see what happens there. But to answer your question, yes, I think databases are great. They're great for launching. They're not sustainable long term, and people need to be looking at how else they're going to acquire users, or else they're going to end up, you know, launching well and then failing as they grow.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with what Alan said. And it's interesting, like what we were talking about earlier about whether the AGCO is going to just close their eyes and ignore what other operators do in other provinces. Well, if they're not regulated, what'll be interesting is Facebook, right? Facebook in the States, you know, if you want to market a real money gaming product in, you know, on their platform, they have their own regulations that you need to adhere to. So the question is, if you're an operator that's going to operate in the license regime in Ontario, if you plan on operating outside of Ontario and you want to use Facebook, the question is Facebook going to let you? Facebook actually might actually become a fairly significant, and Google might be a fairly significant power player up here in determining how other regulations are going to roll out across the country. I mean, but to Alan's point, everything is still a bit of an unknown, right? Things are moving very, very kind of quickly, but not quickly enough, because there are still so many answers that we don't have yet.
And I think it took us 25 minutes to get here, but if we're realistic, I think Facebook and Google play a massive part in how brands are going to decide whether they regulate or not. I think access to that traffic and the ability to buy in those platforms cannot be discounted. They are the best in what they do. And when you said it, you know, Facebook has their own policies. You know, it's arguably as hard to get approved on Facebook as an operator than it is to get your license in the state in the US. At the end of the day, they're starting to become more relaxed. You know, they have iGaming teams, they're taking the industry seriously. But at the same time, because they're taking the industry seriously, they're not going to come into Canada and just say, yeah, everyone can promote on our platform. It's going to be very regulated. It's going to be difficult. And I think, you know, if they do regulate it properly, there's a big advantage for brands who are becoming licensed.
Totally agree.
Great. Any final thoughts before we hang up? Either of you?
No, I just think that unlike what we've seen in the States, where, yeah, there's subtle differences from state to state as far as how brands are promoting and marketing and launching their product, I think in Canada, if we look 5 years from now, and let's hope that all of the provinces by then are regulated and operators are able to conduct business and right across the country, I think you're going to see the differentiations between regions in Canada significantly more stark than you see that in the States. We are an extraordinarily tribal country with, you know, we're very patriotic, extraordinarily patriotic. I would say one of the more patriotic countries on earth. Our most famous band of all time is barely known outside of Canada, like just as an example, right? Tragically Hip, by the way, is the most famous Canadian band of all time. And if you ask anyone from any other country, they're like, who? So we are extraordinarily patriotic. We love all things Canadian, but ultimately, if you're a sports fan in Edmonton and you're a sports fan in Halifax, Nova Scotia, you watch sports differently. You like different things. You like different celebrities and different cultural, you know, nuggets. Like, it's really, really interesting. So I think that's going to train. I think that's going to follow suit when it comes to how the gaming brands are going to evolve across the country as well.
Yeah. And I think just last kind of note, and you touched base on this, you know, I think what differentiates Canada is at the end of the day, these provincial lotteries have been operating sports books for better part of how many years? I mean, digitally for 20 years, but they've been operating sports books forever. So for them to license and allow brands to legally come in, they are sharing part of their market share. You know what I mean? As much as we touch base and said a lot of people bet on kind of unregulated brands right now, a lot of people in Canada bet with their provincial lotteries. And I think that makes a big difference when you compare it to any other market, is that they currently, right now, each provincial lottery owns that market. So for them to give access to it, they're not going to give it easily. And I think they're, you know, like Nick said at the beginning, there's a reason why there's no news coming out of Quebec and why BCLC wants to run a lottery, a monopoly. You know, there's a lot of advantages to them owning that market. So I think it's going to be a wild ride the next 2 or 3 years to see, you know, what each province does. But, you know, as a Canadian, I'm super excited for the market. I'm excited to see what happens. And, you know, I think being here, there's going to be tons of opportunity for brands and marketers and tech platforms. So it's a great thing for the country. Let's just kind of see how it rolls out.
Great. Great stuff. Well, listen, Nick, Alan, thank you so much for your time. It's a pleasure as always. And let's review this in 6 months and see where we're at. We might be still in the same position. We never know. But listen, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate your time today, and see you again soon, hopefully.
Thanks, great guys. Time. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Rory. Thanks, bye, Rory. Guys. Later.